By the way, what an underwhelming day two of the legal tampering period. Yesterday, well, it really got started on Sunday. Trades, re-signings, just like bam, bam, bam. A lot of news. Monday, bam, bam, bam. A lot of news. Adam Schefter, let's get his last five tweets, right? Because this just kind of shows how today we're all just waiting and waiting and waiting for Aaron Rodgers. Leonard Floyd is expected to sign with the Falcons 16 minutes ago. 24 minutes ago, Saints agreed to terms with wide receiver Dante Pettis on a one-year contract. Schefter retweeted Jeremy Fowler. Cornerback Mike Hughes is heading back to the Falcons on a three-year, $18 million deal. There was a retweet of Tiger Woods as it came out that he has ruptured his left Achilles. And then it was an agent, I believe, tweeting out, and it's a retweet by Schefter, beyond proud and excited for our guy in Juwan Johnson for agreeing to a new three-year deal with the Saints. And then Puka Nacua changed his jersey number from 17 to 12. If you want me to keep going, at 2:42 p.m. Eastern time, 1 year ago today, any idea what happened? Saquon Barkley signed with the Philadelphia Eagles. This is what's going on right now on the Twitter feed of Adam Schefter. Aaron Rodgers, do something. Aaron Rodgers, we're waiting. And you know what? To be honest, kind of hope it happens tomorrow. I want the Aaron Rodgers news to happen when we're on the air. Now, we got 58 more minutes in this hour, but I would love Stu to play the breaking news sounder. And I always love when I don't know the news because I'm usually on top of it. Like, my friends will say, you beat ESPN to this. You beat this site to this. How do you, on top of all this stuff? So I usually see it right away. But there are moments where I'm ranting and raving and doing the show, and then Samter gives Stu a look, Stu gives Samter a look, and I know there's something going on, but they could just be talking about some of the bullcrap soccer that they're watching, or it could actually be news. And then the breaking news sounder goes off, and I have to guess what it is. That, to me, are some of my favorite on-air moments, when it just happens out of nowhere, boom, react to it, go. And I think the most wild day, I forget the order of events, but just in terms of breaking news, it was when we found out, was it Nick Saban was retiring? And then, oh no, I think it was actually Pete Carroll got fired.
First.
Or they moved him upstairs and it was a mutual agreeing of parting ways, which is bullcrap, right? So it was first. And then we're like, all right, Pete Carroll's going to dominate the show for an hour. And then to start like the 4 p.m. Eastern time hour, Samter got on the air and said, Nick Saban is retiring. And I was like, whoa, because that was a shocker. Those to me are awesome moments. Yesterday, you guys teased me a little bit. You teased me because you played the breaking news sounder. This is probably something I shouldn't say on the air, but I'm going to say it anyway. What Samter did yesterday was the sports talk version of Blue You Know What. All right, because he played the sounder. It's like, oh, wait, let's see what's happening. And then it was, oh, Kenny Pickett got traded to the Browns, which was funny for our show because just 45 minutes earlier, Chris in California was saying that it was collusion against Kenny Pickett in the NFL, and I told Chris that it was just illusion. So I'm waiting for the Rodgers news. But if we don't get the Rodgers news by 5:55 p.m. Eastern time, I don't want the Rodgers news to happen until 3 p.m. Eastern time at some point tomorrow. And we have Rich Gannon joining us tomorrow. Ideally, if I could be really selfish, I want it to happen when Rich Gannon's live on the air. Like, Stu plays the breaking news sounder. What's the breaking news? Zach and Rich, sorry to interrupt you. Aaron Rodgers is signing with the Steelers. I give my thought for about 30 seconds. Rich, what say you? That, to me, would be a fun moment. That would be really fun. But you know what's going to happen? 5:55 p.m. Eastern time. You will get the breaking news alert right as we say goodbye And it'll make for an easy radio program for JR coming up next on many of these same stations.
Well, we technically sign off at 5:54:45 Eastern time. So,
what is it? 5:54:45 you said?
Yes.
So it's going to be 5:55:46?
5:54:46 is when it's going to happen.
Okay. That's too many numbers for me. I even repeated what you said, and I still think I got the numbers wrong.
6:19:44.
6:19. What did you say, 44?
Yes. All right. Great memory.
I was going to say, maybe I should hold back on the Jack and Coke that I have before the show. No, I'm just kidding. I'm just stupid naturally. All right. Anyway, let's get a little overreaction, proper reaction in right now.
Another NFL week is complete, which means it's another week to freak out about your favorite team. Which takes are truly crazy.
But sometimes a game can be so bad, it's almost good. You know what I'm saying? No.
And which are so crazy, they might be right.
He's 6'5", he's 245 pounds. He's probably a Popeye's biscuit away from being a tight end.
Zach lets you know in this week's edition of Overreaction or Proper Reaction.
You want to know how awesome our YouTube chat is, by the way? There is now a name in our YouTube chat. Kenny Pickett. And this person said, hey, !! So I clicked on the profile to see like which listener changed their name to Kenny Pickett. And the photo is of a wolf and it says Sheppenwolf, which also fits our show. And then it says at the Bad Shepherd Third. That's this show. I absolutely love it. I love that someone would change their name to Kenny Pickett, and then when I click the profile to see which person it is, there's a photo of a wolf, and it says Sheppenwolf, and then the Bad Shepherd. It's good stuff. Alrighty, what do we got today, Stu?
Alright, the Dolphins' offense has been elite when Tua has been healthy, but multiple injuries to their starting quarterback and a lack of quality backups in Miami have doomed Mike McDaniel and the Fins. Now, yesterday, Miami made... well, an interesting move. They signed former number 2 overall pick and major draft bust Zach Wilson to be Tua's backup. Onside to Offside, the Dolphins need to land a bigger fish to back up Tua.
I would say that is a proper reaction. Here's why. There's still a name out there that I would feel more confident in if Tua Tagovailoa did go down with an injury. And Stu, that name is Jameis Winston.
That'd be fun.
Famous Jameis. Would you rather have Jameis Winston starting a game or Zach Wilson starting a game?
Jameis Winston. Not even a question.
Right?
Yeah.
So it's maybe not a huge fish. Maybe we could say, did they need to land a bigger crawfish? Right? Didn't Jameis steal those crawfish or something like that? Was it crawfish?
Crab legs.
Crab legs. Ah! I messed it up. Sorry, I messed up the joke. But you got what I was saying. I think they need to land a bigger fish to back up to it. Zach Wilson, to me, is more of a third-string quarterback than a second-string quarterback in this league. So the Dolphins need to land a bigger fish to back up to a Tagovailoa. That will be a proper reaction.
All right, after going 4-2 as a starter for the Steelers with 10 total touchdowns and just one interception, Justin Fields was benched in favor of Russell Wilson. Well, now Fields is off to New York as the Jets' new starting quarterback, signing a 2-year deal and pairing back up with his former Ohio State teammate and Garrett Wilson. Overreaction or proper reaction, Justin Fields will be the Jets' starting quarterback for longer than the 2 years in his contract.
It's the Jets, so it's usually the Jet plan. Year or two guy B's a quarterback, year or two guy is the head coach, then they're moving on. So how could I expect anything more than 2 years? So Justin Fields will be the Jets starting quarterback for longer than just the 2 years in this contract. I will say that is a overreaction. Now, I saw this tweet, and I'll give the guy credit because the guy was the first person that I heard say on this network that Sam Darnold was going to have a resurgent year and the Vikings were going to make the playoffs. And that was our very own Pat Boyle. Pat Boyle is guaranteeing, I can't find the tweet, but I saw it earlier, but Pat Boyle is guaranteeing that Justin Fields is going to be the guy that breaks the Jets streak, their playoff drought. He thinks the Jets are going to the playoffs with Justin Fields. Stu, Is that an overreaction or a proper reaction? The Jets will make the playoffs with Justin Fields.
I think that's an overreaction. I think they'll finish last in the division.
I can't find this tweet from Boyle, but I saw it earlier. Anyway, next question.
All right, the Chargers, they released Joey Bosa after a 5-sack season that somehow got him selected to the Pro Bowl. Now the Athletic's Mike Silver reports that Bosa is deciding between two teams, the Dolphins and the 49ers, where, of course, he would be joining his brother Nick. Overreaction or proper reaction, Bosa should join the Dolphins rather than the Niners.
If it's just between those two teams, I would go to overreaction. The Dolphins are nowhere close to winning a Super Bowl. Not that the 49ers are extremely close, but they're closer even with all the changes in the Dolphins. And also you get to play on the same team as your brother. What am I missing here? Bosa should join the Dolphins rather than the 49ers. That to me is a overreaction.
So speaking of the Chargers, Jim Harbaugh is known to value a strong offensive line in a run game. And he showed that yesterday as the Chargers signed Steelers running back Najee Harris.
Real quickly, this is an underrated signing.
Yeah, it is.
Has there been a player, and I get it, Najee Harris has been great, but 4 years in the league, 4 1,000-yard seasons, doesn't get hurt. I know that his running style could be a little bit weird, but I think that's someone that Steelers fans who bitched a lot about him are going to complain when he's gone a lot more than they appreciated him when he was there. I'm not saying he's great, but he's been a solid running back in this league. And I feel like every time I see his name, Steelers fans are just trying to get him off their team. Well, now they got their wish because he's a member of the Chargers.
Yeah, as you mentioned, 1,000 yards in each of the last four seasons. And, of course, he joins an oft-injured but yet resurgent J.K. Dobbins in L.A. So overreaction or proper reaction, the Chargers are a top-four team in the AFC.
Ooh, that's an overreaction. Now, I know what's going to happen. And we'll see if J.K. Dobbins returns to the Chargers along with Najee Harris, who's now there. But, which is still a possibility. But you're going to say, Zach, who are the four, right? Well, the Bills are better. The Chiefs are better. The Ravens are better, right? Those three. So I have to give you then one more team. Well, that's actually a good question. Can I give you that one more team? Did I just dump myself in this own segment? I would still see, I want to put my eggs in the basket of the Bengals, but I don't know who's going to be on the Bengals. But can I trust Justin Herbert in a big playoff game? I love Harbaugh. Oh boy. You know what? You know how I go with? Team that just beat the Chargers in the playoffs if I had to. The Texans. Even with losing Laramie Tunsil, their offensive line being mush, I would still say the Texans are better than the Chargers. See, those are one of those moments where you go, oh, no, top 14. And then you go through it. I think the bigger takeaway from that, the NFC has not only closed the gap on the AFC, the NFC has a lot more depth than the AFC. The NFC, and I don't even think it's like, oh, the AFC, you could only say that the three teams at the top are still better than all teams in the NFC. You can't confidently say that. The Chiefs just got waxed by the Eagles in the Super Bowl. The Bills and the Ravens are very good teams, but you look at the NFC, who would you say the three best teams of the NFC, Stu? I have my three, but who are yours?
I would go Lions and Eagles for sure, and then for that next spot, I would probably go
Rams, Commanders, Niners?
It's one of those three that I'm trying to decide between. I guess I will go with the Rams because of the coach and the quarterback.
So let me ask you this then, Samter. Who's a better top three? Just top three. Chiefs, Ravens, Bills, Eagles, Lions, and the Rams.
Man, honestly, it's so close, so even. I guess you have to go with the NFC just because the Eagles won the Super Bowl and the Lions were the best team throughout the year. But man, it's close.
Stu, what's your answer on that?
I think I'll still go AFC, but it's really close.
So would I. But then if I said, all right, the next three teams in the AFC compared to the next three teams in the NFC. So the next three teams in the AFC, I think most people would say are whom? Like the Bengals,
Texans,
Chargers,
maybe even the Broncos.
Chargers or the Steelers, or the like one of those, take one.
Yeah.
In the NFC, if I gave you the next three, Commanders, Green Bay, you know, let's see what happens at Minnesota with their quarterback position. You know, the Bears, you know, are they on the rise? The Buccaneers?
Yeah, Bucks aren't bad.
It's like, I think the NFC 1 through 7, in terms of the seven playoff teams, are better 1 through 7 than the AFC. But the AFC's top is still ridiculous, but the NFC has closed the gap, and I think they may be a better conference than the AFC.
Here's the question, though, because I don't disagree with you necessarily, but could you see the Bengals winning the Super Bowl?
Yes.
Could you see the Texans winning the Super Bowl?
No.
Could you see them making a run for the Super Bowl?
No, I think that their ceiling is AFC championship game.
Okay. Do you think the Chargers, with Jim Harbaugh and what they've added on and Justin Herbert, could make a run? Okay.
They have to win a playoff game.
Do you think the Buccaneers can win the Super Bowl?
No.
Do you think that the Commanders are going to win the Super Bowl this year?
This year? Well, hold on. Now you're misleading me. Because the other teams didn't say this year.
Sorry, I meant this year.
Okay. I think they have a chance.
You think the Packers can win the Super Bowl this year?
No, because they don't have a number one wide receiver.
So, yes, there's depth. But I think that, like, again, Bengals, I have more faith in. I have more faith in the Chargers.
But put it this way. The Packers, I know, at least are going to win 10 games this year.
Right.
The Bengals could win 13.
Yes.
Or they could have an injury to their quarterback. Trey Hendrickson could be on the Bills by tomorrow. T. Higgins could still be upset with this contract. And the Bengals could be the Bengals and mess up the Jamar Chase situation. And they're 7-10 next year.
I think that's the point, is that
there's more consistency in the NFC. Yes. And I know at least what I'm getting in the NFC. The AFC is like, let's go on a roller coaster ride. I may love it. I also may hate it. So that's how I would say it. Alrighty, what question are we on still?
All right, number five. So Russell Wilson has been shut out of the quarterback sweepstakes so far, with the Giants seemingly his last shot to land a starting job. However, SNY's Connor Hughes reported yesterday that the Titans are surprisingly interested in bringing in Wilson despite holding the number one overall pick. Overreaction or proper reaction, Russell Wilson would be better off joining the Titans than the Giants.
This is like, what disease would you rather have? So in Tennessee, I have Tony Pollard, Calvin Ridley, Nick Westbrook, Akine, and Tyler Boyd, I believe. And Nick Westbrook, Akine had like I think he just missed 10 touchdowns last year, but there was a stretch where he had a lot of touchdowns. In New York, my wife's happy, right, if I'm Russell Wilson, because Sierra has wanted him to be in New York for a while. I get Malik Nabers. I have a bunch of turnstiles in Penn Station as my offensive line, and I have Tyron Tracy Jr. And in at least in the AFC South, I'm looking up, and the teams aren't that intimidating. In the NFC East, I'm intimidated by the Eagles, and I'm intimidated by the Commanders. I would still rather go to the Giants, because at least I could just chuck the ball up to Malik Nabers and see if he comes down with it. So Wilson would be better off joining the Titans than the Giants. That will be an overreaction.
The Dallas,
but not good either way.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, would you rather have back pain or would you rather have knee pain? None of them are enjoyable, but you got to pick one or the other. And in that case, I'd rather have knee pain than back pain. That's just me. But continue.
The Dallas Cowboys have once again been silent during the free agency period so far, as Jerry Jones said that they likely wouldn't be.
You don't
be
think signing
Kevontae
Turpin, re-signing him, is a big move today?
Massive move.
Oh, okay.
So a wild stat emerged during yesterday's frenzy, which showcased the Cowboys' disdain for free agency. Since their controversial 2015 signing of Greg Hardy, the Cowboys haven't signed a single free agent for more than $6 million
is
per
that
year.
True? Since 2015?
Yeah, a decade.
Because they take care of a lot of their own guys, but
not
on
a
the
lot
open
from the
market.
Outside.
Wow.
So obviously in context, Myles Garrett just signed for over six times that amount. Overreaction or proper reaction, the Cowboys need to be more aggressive in free agency going forward.
Yeah, proper reaction. The salary cap is going up. So, yeah, go spend more money. Now, can I ask a question? I'm not great at math, and maybe, Sam, you need to explain this. So, that's just per year when you said the $6 million? Okay. Gotcha. Never mind then. That's fine. The math lines up there. At first, I'm like, I don't think you put enough.
Decimal points.
I think it was more than that a little bit. Only $6 million. I'm like, that makes sense.
It's okay. An insane stat, though. I mean, you think about how much guys are getting at every position.
It almost sounds like a stat that's wrong, and I'm trying to refute it, and I got nothing. Absolutely nothing.
If you try to think about one big name free agent that they brought in, like you said, they just take care of their own. They re-sign their own guys to big deals, but they don't bring in guys, which is crazy.
Get drafted by the Cowboys. Guaranteed to get a fat contract if you're just decent.
And a broadcasting job when you're done.
That is true for a major network. So the Cowboys need to be more aggressive in free agency moving forward. Yeah, absolutely. That's a proper reaction.
All right, last one here. The Bears and new head coach Ben Johnson have been active this offseason. They've overhauled their offensive line after Caleb Williams was sacked an insane 68 times last year. First, the Bears added all-pro guard Joe Thuney in a trade with the Chiefs, then brought in Pro Bowl guard Jonah Jackson from L.A. and signed center Drew Dowman from Atlanta. Overreaction or proper reaction, you expect Caleb Williams to play at a Pro Bowl caliber level with the upgrades on the O-line and, of course, the addition of Ben Johnson.
Right now, the Bears are winning the offseason. I always get wary of teams that win the offseason, but they got Ben Johnson, check. They got three new offensive linemen, check. They signed Grady Jarrett, check. They had the 10th overall pick in the draft. Could they get Tyler Warren? Could they get Ashton Jeanty? Possibility. I think Caleb Williams is going to be vastly improved this year. I think him and Ben Johnson are going to be speaking the same language. I'm not saying he's going to be a Pro Bowler, but I think he'll play Pro Bowl caliber. And I think they're going to be a vastly improved football team. If the Bears, if we go into the final week of the season and the Bears don't have a chance to make the playoffs, I'll be thoroughly disappointed. So I'll go proper reaction there where you say you expect Caleb Williams to play at a Pro Bowl caliber level with upgrades on the offensive line and the addition of Ben Johnson. They better or they're just cursed. All righty. We'll come on back. I know we've been teasing this for a while, but will George Pickens be on the Steelers next year? We'll give you that answer when we return. And also, I did a little sneak attack during the last break. I was like TMZ. I was crouching. I was hiding. And then I ran up on Hot Take Hickey to get his instant, well, not instant reaction, but get a immediate, not immediate, get a few hours later reaction. Third time's a charm, guys. To get a delayed reaction on what's going on with his Colts, with Daniel Jones, Danny Dimes, winding up in Indianapolis with Anthony Richardson still being there. We'll play that reaction when we come on back. All righty, welcome back in. It is the Zach Gelb Show. This is future Hall of Famer Patrick Peterson. He joined us yesterday. He played a little bit in Pittsburgh with George Pickens. And I asked him yesterday how George Pickens will handle this trade of DK Metcalf, because not only is DK Metcalf going to take away some targets from George Pickens, but George Pickens wants a new deal, and DK Metcalf just got rewarded with a five-year, $150 million contract after the completion of the trade. Here is Patrick Peterson on George Pickens.
Just being there, being on, you know, being in that Steelers locker room, I know George is feeling some type of way, but at the end of the day, you know, he has to go out there and earn it. You know, I feel like DK Metcalf, you know, being a guy who I went up against, you know, spending some time in Arizona, like he's a guy who's earned, you know, the right to be, you know, considered as a, you know, a top 10, top five receiver in his league. You know, so I feel like George has a lot to still prove on the table to show the Steelers and other NFL teams that he's worthy of a, you know, north of a $30 million, $25 million, you know, annually, you know, contract deal. Because at the end of the day, it's a lot that comes with being a top-tier paid receiver. And I just feel like there are some areas that George still need to clean up for him to be considered one of those guys.
So the Steelers for years have been notoriously known for not extending wide receivers, right? When a wide receiver is towards the end of his deal, they're able to find someone else. And they've had a lot of good wide receivers. Now, like, there's been some exceptions, but you go through the Steelers, even if they haven't worked long term, there have been moments for a lot of wide receivers there. Like you look back, Antoine Randall, Hines Ward, Antonio Brown, like even Juju Smith-Schuster had a few good years there. Chase Claypool had a good year there, a good first year, and then it was just crap ever since. And there's been other guys, too. Like, there's a bunch of other guys. Jericho Cotri was there. There's a ton of Steelers wide receivers. Now, like, yo, look at the good wide receivers. They always find a way to get them. So George Pickens has been fine. But is the juice worth the squeeze with George? Right now, I would say no. So when DK Metcalf gets not only traded to Pittsburgh, but then they go on out and give him a five-year, $150 million extension, I didn't have that thought yesterday that George Pickens wouldn't be on the Steelers by week one. I didn't. Now, if you said at the end of the season, will the Steelers keep him? That's a different conversation. And I know he's, I think he's on the final year of his deal. Yeah, because he was a second-round pick, and now it's going to be his fourth year. So could they elect to just move on, or do you slap the tag on him and then trade him, things like that? We'll have to wait and see. But this was Bob Pampiani, who was on the nightly call show on CBS in Pittsburgh, longtime reporter. And this is what he had to say on George Pickens' future after the DK Metcalf trade.
If anything, his presence may give you opportunities. They may clamp down on him so that you do get more. And if you do, it's up to you to make it a good season. There should be no moping about it. If he's here, they have to understand how this works, he and his agent. You got to have a good year. You just do your job as best you can, and hopefully at the end of it, you'll come out with some decent numbers that'll give you the kind of contract.
And who's going to pay you?
Well, that could be another team. At that point, you can't have two wide receivers here. If I can't get what I want for him, and I still think he's going to be traded. But my point is, if he's here, you can't be moping around. You can't be unhappy. You have to go out and play.
So he still thinks he's going to get traded. So could you get George Pickens on draft night? Because George Pickens, this issue's not going to change. He's his own worst enemy. He needs to grow up. He needs to mature. Because you're a good wide receiver, but right now, I don't think the juice is worth the squeeze with George Pickens. So if you trade, and he was a second-round pick, like, would the Steelers take a third-round pick for him? Like, DK Metcalf just went for a two. You're saying he's not DK Metcalf. So, like, a three or a four? Personally, if I'm the Steelers, I would just run it back another year and then address this problem a year from now. But if you could get a three or a four from him, maybe the Steelers would trade him. But then whoever trades for him, are you going to give him a new contract right away? I wouldn't. I would say go prove it this year, and then we'll readdress this at the end of the season. But how does George Pickens handle all that stuff? So I'm not saying it's going to happen, but I didn't even think about it because I thought that this would just happen at the end of the season when we'd have an answer on George Pickens. But according to Bob Pampiani, there's a chance that he gets traded before the season even starts. All righty. A lot of people asked me today, and they said, were we going to put Hickey on? And I looked at my calendar, and I said, it's not Wednesday. You know, if it was maybe Hickey was on Fridays, and then this news happened on Tuesday, you know, maybe I would put him on today instead of waiting until the day that he's usually on. But he's usually scheduled to join us on Wednesdays. And usually it's at 4 p.m. Eastern time. We had to move Hickey tomorrow to 5 p.m. Eastern time because we have Rich Gannon coming up tomorrow at 4 p.m. Eastern time live on the show. So Hickey was very negative about the Daniel Jones signing. I texted him today when I guess Hickey was at the DMV as well because I was at the DMV getting this enhanced ID. Ack, have you done this new ID yet?
Yeah, I went to AAA.
Oh, okay. So what was different there?
No line.
Oh, you could go to AAA?
Yeah.
And they'll take all care of this for you?
Yeah.
Huh.
You got to be a member.
Well, I know that.
Yeah.
Oh, I wish I would have known that.
There you go.
Huh. I say this politely. You son of a bitch. So Hickey put out a photo of himself from his learner's permit or his permit. I have my same photo for my permit as well.
Yeah, I had the same photo for a long time, and I don't remember.
Ooh,
I don't remember
for the longest time.
There you go. I don't remember when they took a new picture of me, but for this one they did, and it's the only part of the experience I didn't like. It wasn't like apparently like it's the computer is very finicky about the picture.
Oh yeah. And I take the picture four or five times. Like yeah. I understand why they reject my face regardless.
And the guy says you gotta. You know, lower your head.
Yeah, lower your chin, they said.
And then, you know, of course, you got like eight chins out of it. You know?
Well, they first said to me, you got to lower your chin. They're like, you got to lower your head. They're like, you're too tall. Can you like squat down? So like, I'm thinking, I'm like, this just looks horrible.
Yeah.
So I have no, they don't show you what the picture is.
No. And then you take
this picture four or five times and I'm like, I'm crouching down because they had to make sure that my cabeza was in range of their stupid machine.
And then you're in the system with eight chins.
Yeah.
I'm like, come on.
You do? You know,
yeah.
4 or 5 years ago, if they made me do that, I think I'd look a lot worse. Yeah. Now I look decent. So, but geez, what a pain in the ass process.
I used to go to Roosevelt Field. That was pretty good. But you can't beat 5 minutes.
Oh, the mall?
Yeah. There was one in Long Island. Yeah.
Well, there's one two blocks from my apartment.
Yeah. Oh,
a lot of people watching today.
So there you go.
So when I initially texted Hickey when I was trying to kill an hour and the Daniel Jones news happened, he wasn't happy. He said, quote, when I said, what's your reaction to the Danny Dimes trade? He goes, kill me. So he was not all that thrilled.
Yeah, well, like Hickey wants like Peyton Manning walking through the door in its prime. Like,
yeah, but here's the thing. It doesn't take much for Hickey to get excited about something the Colts do. This is the same guy that said Carson Wentz was going to be great. The same guy that said Anthony Richardson's going to be a top five quarterback in the league.
Yes, yes, he did.
He takes the bait, and he does something that I know it annoys you, and it obviously annoys me. Whenever his team is in the playoffs and they win one round, immediately, they're going to win the championship. Yeah. Get the parades out. All the chairs out at the parade. We're at the Canyons of Heroes. He has mushed our Mets.
Yep.
He has mushed our Rangers. And he does this all the time. So it doesn't take Hickey much to believe in something. So hours later, I did like my TMZ kind of reporting. Mm-hmm. And I did a sneak attack on Hot Take Hickey to get his latest thoughts on the Indianapolis Colts signing Daniel Jones.
How many games is Daniel Jones starting at quarterback this year for the Indianapolis Colts? I just walked up on you, by the way.
10?
10?
Probably more.
So your boy Richardson is getting benched, you said, at the highest ceiling?
He's starting week one.
Out of all those quarterbacks in the draft?
He'll start week one. But he has no consistency to keep the job. And he can't stay healthy. I hate Daniel Jones. But I think he'll probably start more games than Anthony Richardson.
So Daniel Jones is going to be better than Anthony Richardson?
No. Not, well.
Yeah, by that take, sure. That's what's happening.
I hope both suck. And we're already on the march for Arch, 2026.
So there you go.
That's a long march.
The march for Arch.
I don't know. You know, you don't know if he's going to come out next year.
Oh, I think he will.
After 1 year?
Yeah, well, because he's already sat for two.
Yeah.
So I would think so. I'm not saying it's a lock, but I would assume so.
You know, look, you could talk about the NFL money and how good it is and get that clock started sooner. But, you know, he's going to make a lot in NIL money. He's not in a rush to go anywhere. He likes Texas, you know, his family.
So here's the one thing. Let me put a caveat on that. Mm-hmm. If he has a good season, yes, I think he'll come out. For me, Arch Manning and Texas, it's always like, oh, just wait till next year. Sark has done a really good job there.
Yeah.
You had Quinn Ewers go to two playoff performances. Yep. I don't think Quinn Ewers is going to be a star, but there's been such a buildup with Arch. Even I wonder, is he going to be able to meet the hype? And I'm so intrigued to see what he's going to do for this college football season.
His uncle never won a title at Tennessee.
Yeah, it ended up working out, though.
Yeah, no, but I'm just saying, I think there's a lot to that. Look, if he wins a title at Texas, maybe he just goes out on a high note and says, you know, really, I have nowhere to go from here. Let's go.
I think he doesn't even need to be great. I think if he's good with what the last name is and what the expectations are, if he's just good, he'll be the number one overall.
And look, there's just not a lot of great quarterbacks. And, you know, even next year is not supposed to be a good class, so they say. You know, I mean, there's always a Jaden Daniels that emerges, but, you know.
Joe Burrow, who we're not talking about now, and then boom.
Yeah. So, you know, you never know, but.
But look at Hickey. Just this past at the end of the season, he's like, I'm still believing in Anthony Richardson. He's got to be the guy. Now he's out on Anthony Richardson, even though he likes Anthony Richardson. He can't say Daniel Jones.
He didn't want C.J. Stroud.
Yeah, he did
not. I mean, not that the Colts were in line to take him, but he did not like C.J. Stroud.
Well, you know what, Ack? I come prepared. Here is Hickey at the draft. This is the immediate reaction. And remember, when I worked with him, he did not like Anthony Richardson in the draft process. And the moment he found out the Colts were going to get him, he changed his tune. This was Hickey at the draft.
Go.
So I think Trey Hendrickson now is going to get traded. I was in the line of thinking when we were talking about this 2 weeks ago. All right, Ja'Marr Chase is going to get paid. I think Joe Burrow will find a way to get T. Higgins a contract. But if it was between Higgins or Hendrickson, I thought Hendrickson was more important. But I wasn't totally sure if he was going to get a new deal. And then you saw the new salary cap numbers that came out, and you're like, oh, maybe they're able to get all three taken care of. But with Myles Garrett now getting paid, I think this even ups the chance of Trey Hendrickson getting traded. Because all those teams, right, that were going to be in on Myles Garrett, you know, the Eagles, the Commanders, the Bills, the Chiefs, right, when you go through there, and maybe like the Bengals will say, hey, let's not be like Buffalo and do a trade with the Chiefs like the Bills did at the draft. So maybe the Chiefs would be out, but who knows? But you get what I'm saying here. Teams like the Bills, the Lions, the Chiefs, the Eagles, the Commanders, they were going to come calling for Myles Garrett. And I don't think the contract would be as long as what Myles Garrett got. Why wouldn't they give Trey Hendrickson like a 3-year deal or something? You know, you give him an insane amount of money and you end up putting him on your team. Because Trey Hendrickson, even though he's not as great as Myles Garrett, And he's not as great as T.J. Watt. I wouldn't say he's as great as Micah Parsons, but he did have 17 and a half sacks this year, led the league in sacks, and had 17 and a half sacks the year prior. He's a very good player. I remember when he was on the Saints. I had him on, and you know they were trying to get him some media, and I just started watching him. Like, this guy's really damn good. And then he took that next step. And he's been an impactful player for the Bengals. There's no doubt about it. So I'm going to say now with Garrett staying in Cleveland, that being the surprise, there's going to be an appetite for Hendrickson. And there would have probably been an appetite anyway. But now there's going to be more of an appetite because you can't have Myles Garrett. So that's where I'm at with Trey Hendrickson. All righty, let's go around the room here. Give me a team that's in the news or a team that's going to dominate the offseason headlines that you're just curious to see what's going to happen with them through this upcoming season in the NFL. Stu, who's your team?
So I don't know if dominate headlines is the right word, but
it's a curiosity.
Yeah, I've been intrigued by what the Broncos have done so far.
Oh, actually, wow. You could have given me about 20 guesses. I would have never thought the Broncos, but continue.
They signed two guys that I wanted my Raiders to sign. Drake Greenlaw, the 49ers linebacker, and Talona Hufanga, the also 49ers player. He's a safety.
You know he's only 25?
I know.
I thought he was older.
Yeah.
I feel like we've been talking about him for so many years.
So they had those two guys, makes their defense better. They have they'll have that draft pick where they can either address tight end or running back. I just think they're doing a really good job, and I don't think they're going to regress. I think they're going to be back in the playoffs next year.
I don't know if he'll be available then where they're picking, because at the top of my head.
I know you're thinking here, yeah.
I just, the Broncos, let's see.
I believe 20th or around 20?
20. So it's not impossible for Genty to be there.
That's what I was thinking too.
I don't think Warren will be there at that point. I've seen Genty go as early as 6. I still don't think he's going to go 6. If the Bears are there at 10, I think that's going to be tough to pass up. Could Dallas draft Genty? Sure. There's a few other teams as well. But just the colors, I could see Genty.
Yeah, it would fit.
In Denver. All right. Broncos
and a Bronco. You'd stay with the Broncos.
Yeah, that. You know what? Wow. I didn't even think of that as well. But you're 100% right. So I was not thinking of the Denver Broncos, but that's a good one. That's thought-provoking. All righty. Samter?
The Steelers, no doubt. Forget about what happens with Aaron Rodgers, who their quarterback is. Just there's so many different moving parts. The future of T.J. Watt, the Pickens drama with D.K. Metcalf, and then if you add Rodgers to the mix, I mean, is Tomlin on the hot seat if they miss the playoffs? There's so many different sides to the Steelers that's the team I'm looking for.
So you're not wrong, but I just feel like I know what we get out of the Steelers one way or another. Like, two things will happen with the Steelers. They'll be 9-8, 10-7, and just miss out in the postseason. Or they'll be 9-8, 10-7, maybe 11 wins. They'll make the playoffs, and they'll probably lose in the wild card round. Right? Like, there's Steeler fatigue with me in terms of there's not really much they could do this offseason that's going to drastically shift the needle. Like, even if they get Rodgers, which I've been on board for, I look at Aaron Rodgers, and I still say, okay, maybe at best they can win a playoff game with him. So it's just sad how the Steelers have fallen from being a legitimate Super Bowl contender. That's the standard to what they are now, which is just like, all right, you're good, but you're nowhere close to being very good or great. My team are the Niners with all these changes going on. I said this earlier. I think the Niners are closer to missing the playoffs once again than they are to getting back to a Super Bowl. Now, I think they're still good, but they're, to me, a wild card team. You don't enter this season looking at the Niners saying they're going to win the NFC West, even though they could, but I don't think they are going to. Right now, the Rams are the favorite. And then also, you don't look at them as a team that you're picking to go to the Super Bowl this year. Like, when the Super Bowl predictions come out, Eagles, Lions, right, will be there. There will even be some love for the Commanders, the Rams, and so on and so on. All right, real quickly, give me a player right now that you're curious that's in the free agency news.
That is Myles.
Or trade.
So that's Myles Garrett, who was in those conversations. I just think we're going to have the same conversation next year because the Browns are going to be bad once again, and I think he's going to really regret taking the money over going somewhere like the Eagles or Commanders where he could win.
Here's what I say to Myles Garrett. I don't want to hear you bitch about it. You want it out, you said all the right things, and then you took the money. So I don't want to hear you bitch when this upcoming year the Browns suck. Samter, who's your player?
Davante Adams. See what he can do. Is he at the end of his rope, or does he still have some flash left in the pan, especially with a guy like Stafford and the Puka Nacua on the other side? If he doesn't ball out, then that's the end of it for him.
Yeah, and I still think he's a good wide receiver, and I think Puka Nacua is going to extend his career as long as Puka Nacua could stay healthy, because it's a good 1-2 punch. And you got Kyren Williams. I would anticipate that Kupp's not coming back from some of the reporting, but you never know. I've seen crazier things. I'm going to contradict myself here because I kind of, when I talked about Samter, the whole Steelers, it's Rodgers. right? Rodgers makes you intrigued. This is the last year of Rodgers potentially. Does it go out on a stinker in Tennessee or the Giants, or is he able to save a little face towards the end of his career and win a playoff game with the Pittsburgh Steelers? All righty. Samter, Stu, thank you very much. Ack as well. Thank you to everyone that's listening and watching the program. We'll be back tomorrow. Rich Gannon will join us. We'll talk at 3 p.m. Eastern, noon Pacific time. I'm Zach Gelb. I'm out. Bye-bye. Peace.